21st century. Doing something mean to it. Do it better than anybody you ever seen. Do it. Screams from the haters. Got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero need his theme music. No one man should have all that power. The clock's ticking. I just can't.
Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number 18. Unofficially sponsored by Pearson Salted Nut Roll, made right here in lovely St. Paul, Minnesota. If you were here, you'd know how lovely it really is. Don't be a butthole. Eat a Pearson Salted Nut Roll. You can check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work, iDefine Design. I'm wearing my new shirt.
Awesome.
The demo, I guess it's kind of a... what would you call that?
The promo.
Promo. Prototype.
The prototype. Prototype. Yes, yeah. There you go. And it's dope.
It's all right. The yellow isn't as bold as I wanted it to be.
I like it, though.
Oh, thank you. I like it. Thank you.
It's got the thumbs up on the shirt. So, right, yeah. You know, you're one step ahead of the game already.
The thumbs up movement. But that's my graphic design work. You know, you can also check out my other podcast called Some People's Kids Podcast. And while you're at it, you can check out this show on fuzztalkradio.com. My guest today is Tim Wilson, owner of Urban Lights Music in St. Paul.
In Tim, sunny, balmy,
yes,
wintry. If you could say all those things at the same time, right. St. Paul.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a month. It's April 22nd today.
When yes,
recording this. Right
yes,
now. And it's downpouring snow.
It is
with a little bit of rain mixed in.
Exactly. And isn't there a Twins game going on?
It got canceled.
It got canceled. Yeah, wow. Imagine that.
It's like the fourth game already this season.
You might as well not even play.
Welcome to outdoor baseball.
Yes, gotta have that stadium.
Yeah. And it is a beautiful stadium, but, Jesus, it's Minnesota.
It looks really nice with that nice white wintry coat over right. The seats. And
yeah.
I think it says Inns. It doesn't even say Twins anymore.
It could be a ploy to sell raincoats, hats, blankets, parkas.
Definitely, yeah, all that.
They knew what they were doing.
They knew it was a plan.
Yeah. Well, last episode I had Mike Shank of Sector 7G on the show. We talked about Outkast's Aquemini album.
Okay.
Are you an Outkast fan?
Atlian's album.
Okay.
Southern Playalistic album.
You know what's funny is I when I had Mike on the show, I've said Atlians. That's mm-hmm. how I've always said it.
Yep.
And people have said, oh, you mean A.T. Aliens?
Aliens. You know? Yeah, you know, people do say it right. That way. It's funny. People come in and ask for it that way sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know which way is right.
I'm going to go with Atlians. I think we're right.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Let's go with that.
Everyone else is wrong.
Right. Because it's kind of a mashup of, well, it is ATL, yeah. Aliens, Atlians. It just, I don't know.
You know, it's Outkast just trying to be smarter than everybody else,
right.
Basically.
Right, right. And so, but you're not such a fan of that album?
Aquemini album... It was, I mean, obviously, good album.
Right.
I just felt like Southern Playalistic album kind of ushered in that new South sound.
Right.
That maybe birthed, you would say, obviously, the Goody Mob, but maybe like yep. a T.I. Mm-hmm. first album, like the Something Serious album, into okay. the Trap Music album. Like, they kind of set the standard, actually, for lyrics. You know, real rapping
right.
coming out as opposed to the real beat-driven music that is what is down south music right now.
Right, yeah. So, okay, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, I am first and foremost a Southern Playalistic fan,
mm-hmm.
then Aquemini, then, well, I don't know, Stankonia is, I love that album. That's good, but it's an evolved sound, you know.
It is.
Southern Playalistic is definitely raw. It's a first album, you know.
Well, you know, the one thing I can always say about Outkast is they truly evolve.
Yes.
They, you know, a lot of rap groups get in the same mold and they make those same records. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Jay-Z says, if you want buy my old album.
Right.
You know,
right.
So they get a thumbs up for that. They try some new things, they're different. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that's kind of where they begin to lose me.
Okay.
Because it was a little too abstract,
okay.
I think, for me. But Southern Playalistic and Atlians.
Right.
that was it.
I didn't know if I should wear my football shoulder pads to come today. But I'm glad I didn't.
No, yeah. Don't
need to. Well, so we can segue this right into our topic here. We're going to talk about our personal top five hip-hop albums.
Yes, yes.
Initially, you had thrown out the idea of most inspirational albums, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Albums that meant something. You
right.
Know?
Yeah. And you know, I guess that's a thin line. What are your top five?
Well, number one, I gotta go Ready to Die. Okay. Notorious Big.
Yep.
And I think number two, Ice Cube, America's Most Wanted.
Okay.
Very, very important record in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt. 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying. And Boogie Down Productions, By Any Means Necessary.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is ours are not the same at all.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
This is that's good, cool, man. Though. I was honestly good. I was worried I was going to come out and be like,
we're going to like the same records.
Roughly, yeah.
What were yours?
Mine are, and this is in no particular order.
Okay.
The Chronic.
Okay.
By Dre.
Yep.
Wu-Tang, Enter the Wu-Tang.
Okay.
Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style.
Okay.
And this is where I basically tried to narrow it down to five.
Okay.
But I came up with like a list of 10 to begin with.
Okay.
My next one was Brother Ali, Shadows on the Sun.
Okay.
And this is, we were talking before we started recording here about albums that they really had to change the game.
Right.
They had to be game changers, as
definitely,
you said. Kanye's Dark Twisted Fantasy album.
Okay. That's interesting.
Now, if you want to explain yours, and I'll explain mine.
Okay. Okay. You know, I'll say Ready to Die, because I felt like it. The Chronic also did this, too, so... And then maybe where you were going with the Chronic, but I felt like Ready to Die painted a picture. And it was one of the first records that kind of felt like a movie, like you were watching it. Like if you listen to each song, you really heard the angst in Big's voice.
Right.
Really, the you know, he was just really trying to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And how was he going to get it by the end of the record? It's almost how I felt.
Right.
So I felt like that album itself, to me. You know, because it's one I listen to probably every day. It's one of the best albums I've ever heard in my life. Just vocally, musically, like, they were on point. Everything was clicking.
Right.
I felt like Ice Cube, America's Most Wanted, definite game changer. Big kind of changed the East Coast,
right,
you know, and made it so everyone liked the East Coast. Whether it didn't matter if you were in Atlanta, Texas, you know, or in L.A., you still can understand what was going on.
He essentially made...
gangster music.
Right.
Cool.
Well, he made what Dre did with West Coast rap was
exactly
what Big did with
exactly
East Coast.
Yeah. Exactly. Because, yeah, you know, you roll out of, you know, around in New York, even though the guys made the New York record when they were upset and had a bad day, you know, you still would get your fair dose of Snoop and Dre on the East Coast. And so I know that's what Puff was going for when they made that record, and I think they did it. America's Most Wanted, you know, it's post-Cube leaving in WA, kind of disgruntled.
Now, and that's the one that has no Vaseline on there, right?
That's...
is that the EP that followed
that's
that?
That's Death Certificate.
Okay.
Had no Vaseline.
Okay.
That would have been the bonus track when he was going at the whole crew.
Yeah.
But, you know, I felt America's Most Wanted was important because, obviously, one, it's him getting out there on his own, doing his own thing. But, two, it kind of married... the East Coast and the West Coast,
right,
because he went and got the Shockleys and Carl Rittenour and the whole Public Enemy crew,
right,
and they basically produced the album for him with Sir Jinx, gave it a whole West Coast twist to the East Coast. So I felt like, again, that's a game changer. You know, we brought both coasts together, showing that we can make records together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, that one did it. Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt, you know, I felt like it married almost that R&B flavor, that soul music with hip-hop for the first time, to me.
Okay.
You know, with, you know, him and Mary J. Blige song together, just stuff like that, real soulful. And Jay-Z's voice is, you know, if you've ever caught him like on 60 Minutes or some of the stuff he's been on where he talked about, his voice is like an instrument to him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to that album, it's almost like he's playing with the band, you know.
Right.
So I felt that was a game changer. You know, maybe live music, if you will. I'm not sure how they went about doing it, but it just felt different than every other rap record you heard at that point. 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying. Again, I think he made... He brought back gangster music, for good or bad.
Right.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
But he also found a way to take, you know, and obviously with Dre's help and Eminem's help, they found, you know, they made it palatable for pop radio. So now all of a sudden you got a record like In the Club is playing in every stadium in the country.
Right.
It's playing on every pop radio station in the country. And I just felt there hadn't been a record that raw in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talking about a guy who's been shot,
yep,
you know,
had the hype behind it,
had the machine, and it lived up to it.
Yep,
you know.
Yep. I gotta say, as far as like pop, you know, popular rap music at that time, in my adult life, I've been very like, if it's on the radio, I'm not really interested in it. You know what I mean? Yep, I mean, agree. As far as like on pop music radio stations,
totally agree.
But In the Club was definitely a song where it's like, I love that song, and I still do. You know, it's
when you hear it, when it comes on, it's just, you know, it's just something about it. The beat, obviously, his delivery was cool, and it was just so raw. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was almost like one of those ones. I've been in the studio with a lot of rappers, you know, do another take. It's almost like 50 did the take and was like, I'm good.
Right. Yeah.
I don't care if I pronounce the words right or not, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know? And I just thought that again, that ushered in kind of a new era in rap music again. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, you know, and again, my top 10 hasn't changed in years, like I told you before. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I felt like Boogie Down Productions, By Any Means Necessary, man, lyrically, ridiculous. Because KRS-One is probably one of the best people to ever touch a microphone.
Absolutely.
And paint pictures and tell stories. And really, East Coast gangster music at its real, real rawest. Mm-hmm. You know, when you take a record like Criminal Minded or, you know, and then Chris kind of advanced it with this album. And I think that was for me because I loved Criminal Minded.
Right.
But then when I heard By Any Means Necessary, it's like he took everything, you know, I'm Still Number One and my philosophy. And it was, you know, again, he's a game changer because he ushered in and he made it cool to talk about other things similar to Public Enemy and those type of, you know, you actually talk about something. It doesn't have to be about partying and dancing and shooting and killing everybody on the record, but I'm going to talk about a little knowledge. So I felt that was a game changer.
Right. So how old are you?
I am 45.
Okay. Because there's a bit of an age difference there in the albums. Not completely, but
depending who's listening, I could be 42. 43, 44, or 45. Right. So, depending who's listening.
Right. Because, like, you obviously grew up listening to, like, BDP.
Yeah.
KRS-One.
Totally.
I've never even owned
a
BDP album or a KRS-One album.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And but I use music like Brother Ali, who is very much inspired by
Public Enemy.
By them and Public Enemy.
Definitely.
And, again, you know, I was aware of them
because
I've been into rap for a long time.
Okay.
But use that as, you know, hey, he's obviously inspired by this and he's got some very good things to say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's the newer. The one thing I respect about Ali is that, again, we're making records where we're actually talking about something.
Right.
Because I think what's lost in a lot of records now is people forget you have the stage, you're front and center, you have the mic.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can choose to use it for good or evil.
Right.
You know, and a guy like Ali talks about the ills of the world and, you know, maybe we can do this to make things a little bit better, stuff like that. And I think there's a lane for that that needs to be heard. Someone needs to say it, you know.
Yeah.
And I think, obviously, you know, the younger generation, they're not listening to Public Enemy anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't even know who KRS-One is, you know.
Right.
And that's cool. That's cool, because things evolve and change, and there always should be a new cat to come along and pick up the ball and run with it, and Ali's done that.
Right.
Done it very well.
Right.
So, yeah.
To back up My Brother Ali was actually because of Egypto Knuckles.
Yeah, yeah.
You know him.
My man.
We were working at the same company at one point, and he was like, I think he was the one that was like, hey, you've heard of Brother Ali? I'm like, oh, I've heard of him, yeah.
Right.
I've never really been a rhymesayers guy.
Okay.
But he was like, you got to check out this album, Shadows on the Sun. And I was like, holy shit, changed my life, you know?
To the record.
Because I have spent not a lot of my life, but a good few 5 years, I'd say, listening to really crappy music. not so much crappy, but music.
No, you can say that. That's real.
It's not going to bring me anywhere. It's not doing much for me.
Right,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? But almost like it was music with a meaning, and it was just like, you know what? Yeah. That's power, and it was really hard for me to narrow down my favorite Brother Ali album.
Okay,
so I had to start with
what
I heard first. I mean, he has an album before that, but it's kind of really raw.
It's really raw. Yeah.
So let's go back to The Chronic here.
Okay.
Obviously, an iconic album.
Definitely.
Game changer.
Yes.
It was almost N.W.A. to the next level. Would you say?
Because
N.W.A. was the production wise, it was becoming what The Chronic did become.
Definitely.
I don't know. I'd really like for Dre to write like a biography to really tell the segue from N.W.A. to The Chronic. You know, because we've heard stories.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of stories.
Jerry Heller of Ruthless Records wrote a book, but I mean, that's so one-sided. You know.
You know what? And I didn't read that for that reason because I knew it would be one-sided. Right. If you get a chance to read Ron and Roe, Have Gun Will Travel,
I've heard
Rise and Fall of Death Row.
Yeah.
Eye opener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who wrote that?
Ron and Roe.
Ron and Roe.
Yeah,
okay.
He used to write for The Source way back.
Okay, right.
You know, great book, classic. You know, it's one of those ones that, you know, there's a few of those books that you read you can't put down. Like, I read it in one night.
Okay.
Like, I started, I think, reading it by like 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And the sun was coming up, and I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to get to the next chapter. Are you serious? That happened? You know, and I think that was Dre kind of just setting the table, or at least some of the interviews that they did with him to write the pieces they did on that. Mm-hmm. But you're right, autobiography and kind of a who's who and a what's what would make sense, kind of tie it all together.
Right.
You know, understand what happened with Cube.
Right.
You know, understand Eazy-E at the end.
Yep.
Relationship with Shug.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
everything.
Jerry Heller relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of questions out there still.
It's, you know, at the same time, it's kind of a just leaving it unsaid leaves that mystery, you know?
Yeah.
It almost seems like there's a lot of real gangster shit going on behind. And I don't mean with Dre. I'm talking like with Suge's side of things. That
most definitely.
Like, he write this book, and next thing you know, Dre's dead.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't wish that. I'm just saying.
Have Gun Will Travel. That's all I will say.
All right.
Read that book,
all right.
And you will be like, wow, really? That's all you'll say is, wow, really?
Yeah. So a good read.
Yes.
I'll check that out. I don't read a lot of books, but when if I do, it has to be something that really interests me. And that I remember I stumbled upon that book at one time, but I did not buy it.
You'll read it overnight.
Okay.
Like, you won't put it down.
Yeah?
Yeah. Right. It's that good.
All right.
It's that good.
I recently came across a book called Check the Technique. Have you heard of that one?
Yep.
And I picked that one up because a few episodes back, we talked about Enter the Wu-Tang.
Okay.
There's a chapter in that book where RZA, Jizza, and I think You Got or Masta Killa are the three that really talk about the album.
Yep.
Again, it's nine people, so it's hard to rope together nine people to even talk about an album, you know, to get them in one room. But
you know what, though? Those nine people, I mean, obviously the RZA stamps on the whole record,
right,
just track-wise, and the samples he was using, you know, the karate movies and what have you, all the Shaolin stuff. But each MC, you know, actually had their own... I mean, when you heard that album, you were like, okay, well, he's getting a solo album for sure.
He's
definitely getting a solo album for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they all had so much to say in that there's no way they could fit it all in that one
right,
album.
Yeah.
You know?
And the thing, they actually addressed that in that chapter of that book where they're talking about the album, that it's like a formula that should not work. Nine people
in one room?
Right.
Come on.
But it did, and it continued to.
But you know what, though? With MCs, though, that should drive you.
Right.
If I'm meth and I heard Jizz's verse, I gotta rewrite.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's almost like when you hear the Kendrick Lamar, you know, Don't Kill My Vibe remix, and you hear Jay's verse.
Okay.
Then you hear Kendrick's last verse. Oh, man, he went in. Like, he almost heard Jay's verse and said, I'm writing my last verse over.
I have not even heard that album.
Monster.
Yeah.
Oh, Kendrick Lamar album is probably the closest to a classic that you will have heard in the last... Man, maybe 10 years.
Really?
It's that serious.
All right. I'll take... I'm going to have to dive into that one.
Yeah.
And that just came out last year.
It just came out last year.
Right.
Probably, I would say, you know, 2012 has to be Rap Album of the Year.
Okay.
Just hands down. Like, no one else made a record that from start to finish. And again, it was ushered back in the story era.
Yeah.
It's like when you put it on, you feel like you're in Compton again.
Yeah.
And Dr. Dre is taking you on a ride through Compton.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that sounds like something I would be very interested in.
Yeah, it's a very slick record.
And then my other album, Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style.
Classic.
Again, a good,
yeah.
Not so much sequel, but next in the Death Row repertoire.
Definitely.
Just amazing. Amazing.
I mean, you figure Snoop had to... Just based on what the Chronic did and how he kind of introduced Snoop to the world, it had to happen.
Right.
And it didn't disappoint.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
And then my final album was Kanye's Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Okay.
Now, Kanye was... His first album, I love it. I love it. And these, actually, every single one of these albums are, besides Brother Ali's, is their debut album.
Yep.
Where an artist is typically most hungry, you know, and they're showing what they got. They're really going all out. And Kanye, I kind of got written off a little bit after that, that Love, what was the album called?
808s and Heartbreaks.
808s and Heartbreaks, yeah.
See, man,
you know, it's like, it was, I so love confused. That album. Do you?
I just thought it was incredible.
Yeah. Man. I was
but
just,
you
so
know, but a lot of people feel like you do.
Yeah, though. I was so thrown off as to why he would do that, because he was more of a trendsetter, not joining in on the
But that's that taking a chance again. Yeah. You know, that's that Outkast doing the double album, and Andre's album is so far away from what they ever did that it just puts him on a whole nother level. And I felt like that did the same thing for Kanye there. Separated him from everyone else.
Right. You know. And that's exactly how I feel about Dark Twisted Fantasy.
It's a good album.
It was just an album.
Yes.
You know, storyline, whatever. It just segued into itself. Yep. And just different. A little bit of auto-tune in there.
A little bit.
Not a whole thing.
Not a whole lot.
And actually, RZA had a little hand in there, too. And
he had a whole cast of characters in that one.
Even like Alicia Keys and Rihanna, or
Ron Fergie. Isley,
Fergie was it?
Fergie's there, yeah. Charlie Wilson,
yeah.
You know, obviously Beyonce. Yeah. I can't remember the. As a violin player, that was there, and you know, because they recorded the whole thing in Hawaii,
right?
Yeah. And
the life of a rock star, yeah. Rap star,
I want to make my album.
Come on
in
out
Hawaii.
To Hawaii. You can do something on my own.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, reading the articles about it, and I was blessed enough to actually sit down and actually have a conversation with him about it, and they just felt like he wanted to try something where he brought a lot of his favorite musicians and artists together, mm-hmm. put them in studios all under one roof, and said, let's just create music. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was kind of one of those things where you're just going from room to room. Oh man, RZA just did this. Piano guy comes in, does his thing, you know, vocalists do their thing. It just became, he said it became like an event.
Right.
And you just never been in a creative space like that.
Right.
And I think that's what's lost in a lot of this now. It's so,
absolutely.
It's so cookie cutter.
Yeah.
And for an artist to be able to just take his time and go away from everyone, all the distractions of the phone and, you know, problems at home or whatever else is going on and create music, that's a big thing.
Right. And that's what you can feel that in the album. You
Definitely.
Can hear that. It's just it's like it's a masterpiece to me. And it had been a long time since I've heard anything like that.
Yeah,
that's
I would agree.
What really just really did it for me. Now I did have some honorable mentions here. Of course Notorious B.I.G. Ready to Die was one of them. And Tupac. I'm a big Pac fan.
Okay.
When he was alive. Era, you know, not that there's not bad stuff, but it's just there's a reason why that wasn't released. That's what I like to say.
I hear you.
Me Against the World was one of my favorite Pac albums.
It told a story. It actually was kind of ominous. It actually told a story before it happened, which was even crazier.
Yeah.
If you go back and listen to it, you're like, whoa.
Death Around the Corner.
We kind of knew some of the stuff that was going to happen to him, you know. Yeah. So
it was kind of spooky.
It was, was really.
And then, of course, House of Pain's first album, Beastie Boys. Check Your Head.
Oh, man. License to Ill.
Whew. License to Ill, yeah.
Whew.
I mean, there's
Paul's Boutique. What?
Fuji's The Score.
Yeah.
Old Dirty Bastards, Return to the 36 Chambers. Method Man, Takao.
Yeah.
Outkast, Southern Playalistic. Scarface, The Diary.
Good album.
That's one of my favorites. Now, I wanted to tell you my guilty pleasure.
Uh-oh.
Because this was a big part of what really set me back. Like, I it took me a while to get into Jay-Z. It took me a while to get into Kanye. Anything that was happening, like, in that late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay.
I was really into the Insane Clown Posse.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was painting my face and going to shows.
Wow.
They had an album called Riddle Box.
Yeah.
And that, I could still, there's certain albums I can still listen to once in a while, like that. And and it's normally like a Halloween.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to get into Halloween and I'm going to listen to this album. You know what I mean?
Because it's scary.
Yeah. It is. It's creepy.
It's very creepy.
Yeah. Like I remember in high school, a buddy of mine, Sean Chambers, he was like, here, you should check out this CD. And I dubbed it onto tape. And it was like, I knew nothing of who these people were.
Okay.
It was right at the start of like the internet. You know, so I looked them up and it was like, but they're clowns? This is creepy. Whoa, you know? So it was so mysterious. You know?
Right.
And So it kind of has that nostalgic feel. Okay. You know what I mean?
All right.
Like, the first time I saw Ghetto Boys for Minds Playing Tricks on Me, that video, yeah. It was like, these guys are scary.
Yeah.
A little man in there. Bushwick, you know?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And you know what's funny about that album now? I was talking to somebody about that today, and a lot of people don't remember, because Scarface actually made a comment today that he would do another Ghetto Boys album if, and only if, Rick Rubin produces it.
Really?
And the reason he said that is because...
I know the reason why.
There's a Grip It on the Other Level, their first album. Rick Rubin actually remade the whole album when he left Def Jam and he started Def America.
Yep.
And he did Sir Mix-a-Lot album. And then he took the Ghetto Boys album and remade the whole album. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Yeah. And that was in, again, that Check the Technique book where they talked about that.
Yeah, that was... Oh, man. You know, because a lot of times, you know, people will remix Jay-Z, they'll remix, you know, whoever, Biggie, put other beats underneath the songs and call it, the Gray album with Jay-Z where he took the Beatles samples. Mm-hmm. Rick Rubin, he mixed rock with hip-hop, and that record kind of just jumped off the cassette tape at the time.
Right.
I was like, what happened? What just happened?
Now, I'm a little unfamiliar with this album, and so is it... Like, there was a release of the album, and then they re-released it with Rick Rubin.
Yeah, the actual album was on Rap-A-Lot, and it was the first Ghetto Boys album.
Right.
And then they came, I believe it was Mind Playing Tricks was on the album. But that was the first album they ever came out with. Obviously, Mind Playing Tricks became the big song of theirs. But when he left, he said that was his favorite rap group, and he just admired what... the movement that they had going down south, and the owner of Rap-A-Lot made a deal on it, and he just took it and he totally redid every track, like 10 tracks of the hottest 10 songs on the record. Because again, that's when the down south, not Atlanta down south, but now we're in Texas, and so you kind of get this whole new view on rap music and you know what the Fifth Ward is in Houston, and this, you know, they're starting to tell new stories. So it's, you know, again, like Chuck D always said, it's like CNN. You know, you kind of, each city from each rapper, you kind of get the feel of what's going on in that city. So you started feeling like, okay, this is what's really going on in Houston and this area. And Rick Rubin fell in love with it, man. And this, you know, like I said, it jumps off the tape. Like, if you can get a hold of it, incredible. But he said that's the only way he'll do new Ghetto Boys album if Rick Rubin produces it.
Didn't I see that they're touring Ghetto Boys?
They are. Yeah, they're doing shows.
They're coming here too.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're doing shows.
All right.
Yeah.
So at least they can get along enough to tour.
Oh yeah.
Whether or not they're traveling in three different cars for a different story. I don't know.
Three different buses rolling down the highway. That's awesome.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and
let's do it.
We're gonna eat a Pearson salted nut roll. You don't have any peanut allergies or anything.
Not at all. I love Pearson salted nut roll.
All right. Let's support St. Paul. Let's eat.
Let's
one.
Do it
and not be buttholes.
Not be buttholes. Yeah. That's what's
all right.
Up.
We'll be right back here.
All right, bro.
The Some People's Kids Podcast. It's like the Thank You Rob podcast because Rob is on it.
Rob Small.
But it also has another guy.
Who is it?
His name is Chuck Chase.
Chuck Chase.
And there aren't any guests.
No guests.
So it's not really like the Thank You Rob podcast at all.
I'm confused.
So if you thrive for useless knowledge.
Useless.
And really funny shit.
Yes.
Check out peopleskids.com. Fuck yeah.
All right. And we're back. Had a little break there. Enjoyed a salted nut roll. Did you enjoy yours?
I did.
You did.
Best candy bar ever.
Tim was telling me some good stories. He's the man's been in the business for a while, so
a little bit.
He's met some people and he's got some good stories to tell. But before we get into the actual interview portion, I got a question for you.
Okay.
This is just a hypothetical situation here.
Okay.
Let's say that you are renting an apartment or maybe even a townhouse of some sort of, you have a two-bedroom place.
Mm-hmm.
You need your roommate moved out, you need another roommate.
Okay.
And all nine members of the Wu-Tang Clan have applied, all right?
Okay.
So, who do you approve? Who's your new roommate?
Well, you know, I wouldn't go with meth because I don't smoke.
Okay.
So that would be a problem.
Right.
Raekwon,
what if he cracks a window?
Yeah, I got asthma.
Okay, all
You know, Raekwon might be all right. You know, he could probably show me how to get money.
Right. Legal or not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know what I have to say? Probably the GZA.
Okay.
For whatever reason, I don't know why, but he was my favorite out of the Wu-Tang Clan, so I think it would be cool to just hang out with him.
I'd say, yeah, if it really came down to it, most people seem to either pick RZA or GZA.
Yeah.
To you know, they're probably the most, they seem the most responsible, intellectual-wise, you know what I mean?
Well, responsible where I wouldn't come in the whole crib's torn up, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But one of the guys on the show actually said, Old Dirty Bastard.
Wow.
Basically just for party purposes.
Just party purposes, okay.
Just a party, yeah. I'm sure, man, he...
I'm a little bit more laid back, so... Right, yeah. I'm going to go with the GZA.
Although, ODB was probably my favorite Wu-Tang member, just in his unique... Just, I don't think there will ever be another person like him. Although, there is Young Dirty Bastard, his son.
Saw a freestyle.
I don't know.
It wasn't bad.
You know, it's hard because you know you've seen ODB, you know his antics, but unpredictable as they were.
Sure.
It kind of seems like his son is trying to be that. You know what I mean? Maybe he is that way.
He's playing from a behind position because it doesn't, you know, it's like one of those things, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Right,
you know.
Yeah.
That's Old Dirty son. Yeah. Why is he acting like that? Why is he not acting like that? You know,
right,
so what are you going to do?
Exactly. Right. Well, all right, that's cool. All right, Tim, we're here at Urban Lights.
We are.
We didn't even address that earlier. We're recording live at Urban Lights Music.
Urban Lights.
In St. Paul.
St. Paul.
Off of University. What's the address?
1449 University Avenue.
Right. And we have something new here. There's been a light rail edition. Fairly new.
Yeah.
When does that open?
Well, it's still not up and running yet. They say January.
Okay.
2014 will be the inaugural run.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
It's been interesting to say the least.
Yeah.
We've gone through street, no street, them tearing up the street, dust, dirt, no customers, some customers, a drawbridge from the front door across the street so you could walk in.
Yeah.
It's been a mess.
Yeah.
So
trying, but you're still open.
We are persevering. We're still here.
That's
good. You know, we're 20 years strong. So.
Yeah. Damn, man.
Definitely. Yeah, that's what's up.
20 years. Independent, and now there's very few independent record stores even in the country.
You know what? We used to be part of Urban Music Coalition, which may have at one time represented maybe 50-plus of the top, you know, urban stores in the country. It's recognized by the major labels.
Okay.
And I think that's down to maybe 10 now.
Mm-hmm.
With us being one of the 10, and then
wow.
you know, besides Electric Fetus and Cheapos and Digital City, that's it left in the city. So
you know, for people that come to Minnesota, obviously people are going to be drawn to Fifth Element because of Rhymesayers.
Sure.
But, take a trip to St. Paul, and it's not like it's hard to get here. It's very easy to get
it's
here.
It's very easy.
94.
Yes.
And come by and visit. I mean, just it's a different atmosphere than Fifth Element in a very good way.
Totally.
You know, there's plaques on where there's platinum gold records that have been given to you, autographed pictures of celebrities, and Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq Diesel, the one and only.
Can't Stand the Rain, still one of the best rapper / athlete records ever.
Yeah. Well, obviously you've never heard Deion Sanders.
Must be the money. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Must be the money.
Oh, that was the worst.
He just couldn't get enough money.
No. It just wasn't working for him, you know.
Baseball, football, rapping.
And hanging out with Hammer.
Yeah, and hanging out with Hammer.
That's what spawned the record.
Yeah, right. But let's get back on track.
Yeah.
All right, here we are, Urban Lights Music. We're here. People need to come here. It's just for the atmosphere and the good people, obviously.
Appreciate that.
So you first opened 20 years ago? This is the 20th anniversary.
20th anniversary coming up. We opened up in 93.
Okay.
Yeah.
You remember the date?
September 3rd,
okay.
1993.
Okay. You're going to have some sort of...
We're working on something.
Party or something?
We're working on something. I have some good friends that have their 20th anniversary going on as well, too. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to we're trying to combine forces and make it a nice night for everybody to come out and just celebrate both anniversaries. So yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys have a website?
We are currently in the process of developing a new one, but we are on Twitter.
Okay.
At the THE Urban Light. Also, same thing on Facebook, and same thing on Instagram.
All right.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yep. Please do.
Now, Tim Wilson, owner. Co-owner?
Owner.
CEO, CFO?
Jack of all trades. Yeah, let's put it that way, yeah.
So how did you get into the business of the record store?
You know what? I used to hang out at No Name Records every day in high school.
Okay.
They were like two blocks from my house, and I used to read the Billboard magazine from cover to cover, and, you know, we began DJing real heavy back then, so I used to volunteer my services there in exchange for vinyl. And then I would go downtown to Music Land and do the same thing, and I would do the same thing at Music City and stack up my vinyl based on my information that I had on what people should order and things like that. So, you know, just kind of been around the retail thing all my life, and my actual background is from sales. So I worked corporate sales for like 10 years. But at the same time, I always hung out in the record store every day. Even when I'm out of college and on to the next level, I still hung out in the record store. Right. And then this was Northern Lights, and they had about 7 or 8 stores at the time. And for whatever reason, they were going to close this location. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the manager knew. He said, "You're here all the time, man. You know, you should buy the store." And I laughed, and we laughed, and I went home and thought about it. And then I called some of my friends that we used to joke around with and say that we wanted to own a record store one day, and I said, "Guess what? We can own a record store. Are you still interested?" And you know, here we are.
Nice.
Yeah.
You've gone through the struggles of the all these other stores closing, I'd assume.
Yep.
I mean, granted, their closing is your benefit, but
sure,
it's sad. It really is sad to see that because of these corporate stores coming in. And I don't think they're not pushing the right thing here. You know, the mom and pop shops are really...
Well, that's where you get the real feel of music.
Exactly.
You know, I always, I don't know, my days of crate digging and stuff like that were at Music City, where I just felt it was just a cool atmosphere. Or Harpo's and Hot Licks, if people remember that, further down Hennepin Avenue. You know, just a cool place to hang out. Posters all over the wall, and you walk in and all the hot records are on the wall. So it was kind of that just... wanted to give that feel, and then my man, mentor, etc., George Daniels in Chicago had George's Music Room, and we kind of wanted to emulate what he had and kind of make it, you know, that store that marries the neighborhood with the industry, and as kind of a give back, you know, the neighborhood buys all this music, and these artists come to Minneapolis for various different reasons, so we always would bring them in and, you know, do the autograph thing and have them just hang out. I mean, you know, everyone from Outkast to, you know, you name it, Ghetto Boys, you know, they've all been through here at one point.
Yeah, and there's pictures and autographs to back that up.
Yes, you know? Yeah.
And that's very cool. You can come in here and just, like, you just take a time travel with some of these albums and posters, you know.
Definitely.
That's very cool. So you have not just this, the record store. You're more involved with music than just beyond the store here.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
We also have Urban World Management.
Okay.
And it's myself and my business partner, Roberta Ryan. Man, we started that probably 10 years ago. And we've nurtured artists. Two major deals that's what the company was put together for to do.
Okay.
And so, you know, we've had a couple of artists that have moved on to major situations, which is cool. And now we're working with the person we believe is going to be the next big artist out of Minnesota, by the name of Chris Lawrence.
And
we're just kind of wrapping his album right now with legendary producer from Naughty by Nature, KG, who did Next from Minneapolis as well.
Yep.
But this is going to be a different thing. It's going to be a game changer.
Right.
And that's what we look for. It's just things that kind of musically take us in a different direction. When people hear this, they're going to be like, wow. Number one, they're not going to believe it came out of Minneapolis.
Right.
But Chris is well known in the city. Chris Lawrence Music. On Twitter, on YouTube. If you go to his channel, he's got millions of videos up, virals, and just a really soulful individual. Can sing. He's got a full band, and this is going to be big.
Chris Lawrence.
C-H-R-I-S.
Okay.
Lawrence, L-A-W-R-E-N-C-E, music.
Okay.
Like I said, you can find that. If you go to his YouTube channel,
mm-hmm.
You can get the whole story.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now he plays a lot locally.
Right? Yeah, he does. Doghouse is kind of the big spot now, every Thursday night.
Okay.
He's got a really good following out there. But, you know, everywhere from Fine Line to Bunkers, anywhere you hear live music, he's played.
Okay.
You know, and... like I said, this album, man, we're working with just some really great musicians out on the East Coast that are, you know, tied to a lot of major bands and stuff like that. And like I said, KG and his partner, a gentleman by the name of Joel Kipnis, JK, he used to be the music director for Herbie Hancock.
Oh, really?
For years. And so we're doing everything out of Pulse Music, New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we believe it's going to be a game changer.
Okay.
Yeah. So look for it. Soon.
And so what kind of music would you say the music is?
You know what? It's going to be, I don't want to use the word pop, but I want to use the word accessible music meets hip hop.
Okay.
With a very soulful twist to it. Mm-hmm. Chris's voice is just, when you hear it, he does a lot of things acoustic. Incredible.
Are you familiar with Raphael Sadiq?
Yeah.
Anything
in that world, definitely. Okay.
I love what Raphael Sadiq does.
Definitely in that world. Raphael Sadiq, Anthony Hamilton, okay. Music Soul Child.
Right.
But then, you know, like I said, it's more accessible.
Okay.
May touch Maroon 5 a little,
mm-hmm.
Coldplay a little.
Right.
That's
you're getting universal there.
Yeah,
That's
good. You know, we're trying to go big. Yeah. Big with this.
That's so. How you do it.
Yeah, we're excited.
Yeah, that's cool. So what are some of the past artists you've worked with?
Female artist by the name of Auburn.
Okay.
She's from St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
We actually did an independent record with her, put out on a local label. That record got us noticed by Keisha Cole. So we ended up on tour with Keisha Cole.
Mm-hmm.
It was us, Jay Holiday, who, you know, had a record out on Capitol, and Ray Lavender, who was signed to Akon at the time. And we followed her tour bus all over the country, performing every night. And that got us noticed by BET. They loved her up at BET.
Mm-hmm.
And subsequently, we signed her to a very hot producer at the time, was J.R. Rodham, and had Beluga Heights.
Okay.
And so we were signed to Epic at first. Man, we did about 100 million records, and they wouldn't green light a record. And us and Jason Derulo, we all asked for our release. We got released, and then we went with JR over to Warner Brothers.
Okay.
And so we put a record out on Warner. It'd been 2 years ago. Did pretty well. And then we had another pop act on Universal by the name of... why is this escaping me at this point in time?
We can cut this.
Can we? Let's cut that part.
Good God.
Are you...
So, but you've had your hand in the music business. You've been around. You've had to deal with those contracts, all the headaches. And
contracts. And a lot of headaches.
Yeah, I bet.
A lot of headaches.
That's a dirty game. And good to see that you're so humble here now talking about this.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we just feel like we do good business. You know,
and that's important.
You know, it's Minnesota nice being injected into the music industry.
Right.
So it's interesting. And then, you know, outside of Chris, currently we have a 14-year-old artist by the name of Sasani. We had a record called Runaway Walk about 6 months ago to a year ago.
Okay.
Man, about 300,000 views on YouTube, did really well.
Mm-hmm.
We made it to BET. It was record of the week on 106 in Park. And so, you know, we got some good stuff going.
Did you have anything to do with the Hot Cheetos and Takis kids?
No. We knew about it. We were aware of it.
Yeah. Hot Cheetos, meh. Takis, yeah. They're pretty good.
Takis are pretty good. Yeah.
Have you had them before?
Yeah, I have. They, you know, the record made me go taste them.
Right, yeah, exactly.
They, you know, it kind of reminds you of wood for some reason.
Yeah, and your fingers are all red.
All
after.
Red.
Yeah.
All red.
Yeah.
I don't get how the kids do it, but they like it.
Yeah, yeah. But so you've been involved in the story here for 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite or maybe your frequent celebrity or artist that's come by that you?
You know what? I definitely enjoy 50 Cent.
Okay.
He's a character.
It's 50.
Fifth. with an F.
Yeah.
F-I-F. No, it was a good time with him. Just, you know, not talking about music, but talking about business.
Right.
And just what his goals were, you know. Early on, it was funny that when I sat down with him and I asked him about the video game, and he said, "You're asking me about my video game? Like, nobody ever asked me about my video game." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Yo, it wasn't bad."
Right.
You know, how come you didn't do this? How come you made it a first person shooter? How come you did this? You know, we talked about all kinds of other stuff outside of music. So that was a cool time.
So that was after the game, the video game.
Yeah.
When that was 2007?
Yeah, it had to be 2007. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so that was right. It was right when The Massacre came out, and they were dropping the video game, kind of, you know, at the same time.
Right.
You know, so right around there. But I had, you know, I had got a demo of it, so we actually could, you know, we had a cool conversation about it. But you know, I don't know, the best person, you know, obviously the person we still do business with, and that's KG from Naughty. Just a real great relationship, and it's grown from, you know, them signing autographs here in the store to, you know, working with Next, to just kind of going to the next level, working with different artists we've had over the years, and now to Chris Lawrence. And, you know, like I said, it's more of a family situation now, so it's real cool. So
that's cool.
That's the one who sticks with me.
And you kind of told me the story here during the break when we were enjoying a Pearson Salted Nut Roll,
yes.
My unofficial sponsor.
Yes.
And essentially, it spawned from he gave you his number, or you had given him yours, and
yeah,
it was like,
you know,
"Hey, give me a call sometime."
Yeah, you know, and you know, it's one of those things. You never think people are going to call you back.
But that, there's an important lesson to learn from that. It's like people, they sleep on a lot of situations. You know what I mean? They don't be so lazy. That's an important part of business, is you never pass on an opportunity.
You never know.
Right there.
You never know what could happen.
And now you've got this incredible business friendship, you know, it's really grown. And
yeah, I mean, we play fantasy football league together.
Oh, nice.
So,
nice.
You know,
who wins?
You know what? My team destroyed his team this year. So I'm ahead right now.
Yeah.
But he just won the fantasy basketball league.
Okay.
So yeah, he just won that. So he was bragging about that the other day. But you know, we're going head to head in Russell every day, so I'm up on that as well too.
So it goes from football to basketball
to Russell.
Is there fantasy? There's fantasy baseball.
Yeah,
leagues,
there
right?
is. Yeah. We just, you know, man, it's just too much time.
Yeah.
You know, you really want to win, and we get ultra competitive with things, and so it's like you find yourself spending a lot of time reading rosters and who got hurt and all that. It's like, man, football's enough. So we're gonna just stick to that.
Right. I played a fantasy football league 1 year. It was probably about 10 years ago. And I was like, man, this takes way too much time.
It really does.
But now a lot of things have been kind of automated with the internet.
You know, you can join the ESPN League, and that's what we usually do. You just, you know, it does the draft for you.
Okay.
And then it just becomes how you manage at that point.
Okay. But you can set those to, like, auto-manage.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Definitely. Okay. Definitely. Okay. But, you know, the NFL is the greatest marketing company in the world, so they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
they keep people focused on football,
yeah.
you know, 365 days a year. That's what's up.
Yeah. That's important. So the store here, we just celebrated Record Store Day.
We did.
I didn't even make it here. What did you guys have, a big day? Or
we had a great day.
Yeah,
a great day. A lot of people stopped by. We did a lot of vinyl. We had some nice. Our deal we had was some gift bags from actual DJ carry bags from Warner.
Okay.
So that's what we were giving out with every vinyl purchase. So it's kind of our thing. You know, it's a little different than it used to be back in the day. Well, when Record Store Day first started. Now Record Store Day is kind of more of a business. And it's a whole entity outside of the record labels now. And
is this a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. My opinion, bad thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, honestly, the urban stars aren't really invited to the party now.
Really?
It's more geared towards, I mean, what people have to understand, it's about vinyl.
Right.
And so if you're not in a situation that moves a lot of vinyl, it doesn't really pertain to you per se. Mm-hmm. When it first started, it was more about support your local independent store on this day, no matter what you buy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's when, you know, our urban counterparts at Warner and Sony and Capitol and everything were really heavily involved, and now they're not.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's a Record Store Day is like the separate entity outside of the record labels now, and they've turned it into the vinyl, you know, keep vinyl alive thing, mm-hmm. which is cool. From a DJ perspective, I appreciate it. Yeah. I respect it. But it kind of takes away from just, you know, shopping at your favorite independent store. Mm-hmm. It's kind of you're searching. If you don't want the Wu-Tang Clan reissue special double vinyl with the instrumentals and yeah. all the goodies inside, mm-hmm. it doesn't really pertain to you.
Yeah. That's too bad. I mean, it's, you guys obviously have vinyl. It looks like you have, it looks like more vinyl than what Fifth Element has.
Well, we specialize in more old school stuff.
Okay.
We buy a lot of, we purchase a lot of catalog from DJs who now have gone to Serato and are
okay.
kind of doing other things now.
Right.
And so we resell their stock.
Okay.
And so, you know, I look at it as like we're you know, you're passing that music on to a new generation, because there's all kinds of new kids out here who want to DJ now.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to start, you know, you don't want to start with the CDJs and mixing with CDs or going straight to computer DJing.
Right.
You kind of got to start at the essence
mm-hmm.
and understand what you're doing. And there's no better way than to pick up, you know, a couple copies of, you know, Protect Your Neck.
Right.
You know, or whatever, you know, the Hot 12-inch, you know, OPP, mm-hmm. Hip Hop Hooray,
yeah.
You know, Snoop Dogg, none but a G thing, and just mix them back and forth to really get the feel on how to
yeah.
DJ.
Yeah.
So that's what we do.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I had to go to Fifth Element to get the Brother Ali Shadows on the Sun.
I saw that on Facebook.
I had to do it, man. I was like, I couldn't pass that up. And it was a limited run.
It was.
Limited pressing, so I had to... I wanted to be there first. I wanted to get number one
or
2,000.
Okay.
I ended up with like number 56 or
That's
something.
That's not bad.
Which isn't bad.
That's
yeah,
not bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not bad.
Because by the time we were, there was another pile of them, they were up to like 200 or something.
Well, you know, the other thing that Record Store Day has done is it's made it like a collectible situation.
Right, yeah.
And so, you know, again, like you're saying, you got number 56 out of 2,000. Like that becomes that collectible item that you'll hold on to for a long time.
Right.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's turned this into more of a collector's game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been on a search for a really good R&B soul shop around town.
Okay.
I've been told that there's really not... Like, you got to go to Chicago to get to really find the good stuff.
You really do.
Yeah.
You really do. You know, Amoeba Records in L.A.
Okay.
Probably, wow, the biggest record collection I've ever seen under one roof. They've got a great soul section that you can find some records that make you go, you know... Some wild records.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really have much else. Anything you got to plug there?
Nah, you know, just nothing to plug, man. Just please come
shop.
Come shop. Come see us. Hey, even if you're not coming to buy anything, come hang out. You know, it's like, I'm like Sam Malone. It's Cheers.
Right.
We can sit and talk all day.
Yeah.
You know, you soak up some of the atmosphere,
yeah.
some of the, you know, just the nostalgia. A lot of people, you imagine, I mean, people come in and just take pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
It's cool. So,
yeah.
you know, and I like that. It means we did something right.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah.
And buy an album while you're here. What the hell?
Buy an album. What the heck?
No pressure.
No pressure.
No pressure.
No pressure. Like I said, it's like Cheers, you know.
Right.
Just come up to the bar up front and I'll set you up with a round.
Do you have beer here?
No, not at all. I'll set you up with a round of records.
All right. Well, Tim, thanks for doing the show, man. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you having me.
I'll come back again sometime. More stories will have built up, and I've only heard a fraction, small percentage.
You've heard like, man, not even one tenth.
Right. Maybe next time will be Tim Wilson Story Hour.
We could do that.
Yeah. All right. Any last words there?
Just come shop at Urban Lights when you get a chance. Support my man's podcast. This is number 18. I'm sure 18 of. You know, 150 more thousand to go.
We'll see how it goes.
Hey, it's very entertaining.
Right, thanks,
very
man.
Entertaining podcast. So support it.
And what's the address here again?
1449 University Avenue, St. Paul, 55104.
Cool. All right. Well, check out thankyourob.com. Check out past episodes of this show.
Please do.
Actually, thankyourob.com is kind of a hub. You can go there. You can check out my graphic design work.
Okay.
I do fine design.
That's what's up. New t-shirts.
Yep. I also have the Some People's Kids podcast, which is like a comedy podcast I do with my buddy Chuck.
Okay.
We talk entertainment, movies, music, TV shows, whatever.
Okay.
Whatever is funny.
Whatever's
we're
funny.
We're going to talk
That's
about
what's
it.
Up.
We also talk about comic books. We like comics.
I like comics. That's what's up.
But I created this website called Batman Answers, and I've never done anything with it, but the intention was there. It was basically the thought was I have this Batman cowl.
Okay.
I was going to put it on and just like talk like Batman does and answer and questions.
Just answer questions.
Yeah, it just, but it never came about. Awesome. So I think I'm just going to let that one go. So someone, you know, pick it up.
Pick it up.
BatmanAnswers.com. Yeah, it's. I think it's going to expire here soon. But
that's what's up.
Yeah, thanks for listening, and
we appreciate you.
Yeah, yeah. We'll remember this. Never forget.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Ever. Yo, it's your neighbor from across the hall, man. Just want to highlight you for a minute. Here we are in the apartment corridor, Dorian, right? Yeah, I've been meaning to speak to you. I don't get up in my neighbor's business normally, right? But yo, these thin-ass walls got everything leaking through. Now, first things first, I don't judge you for the weed smoke. But I can't hear your daughter yelling, Daddy, please don't. And it's not once or twice, but every damn night. Man, there's something going on up in here that ain't right now. Man to man, I can understand. They like to stress a brother out. Man, we cuss each other out. But you crossing the line by putting your hands on them. Ain't nobody ever told you not to hit a damn woman, boy. I could tell that my presence was painful. Breathing truth down his neck, it must have felt like a strangle. His eyes flashed confusion, waving his hands around. He's used to raising his voice on people to back him down. Yo, you ain't even know me, motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? I'm from Chicago and shit. I'm talking to me all crazy, yo. You better slow your motherfucking roll, homie. That's all I know right there, shit. See, this is specifically why I left the pistol in the linen closet. Pulling his shit, if he was taller, I'd have went and got it. Damn it, man, I'm in the right and I'm civilized. But little boys ain't really used to being criticized. First off, Scooter, take the bass out your voice. I'm respectful with mine, yo, you making a choice here. And understand it's only once that I warn you. Make a move, make a threat, I'll make your brain knuckles on you. I ain't a woman or a baby dog, I'm out of your league. My wife heard us getting loud, so she's praying for peace. She stuck her head out on some keep your temper shit. Little man gon' say, close your door, mind your business. And now that's sweet, just what I needed. It seemed that he invited my right fist to a party on his left cheek. I didn't mean to seem rude, so I accepted, but arrived a half a second early. Right, cross-connected, oh, staggered him, just by tagging him. Mr. Tough Guy, one punch, bring out the flag in him. Little man could make moves that I couldn't. He cut and tried to foot it, now how should I put it? I stood at full posture and swatted him down the staircase. Bare knuckles to bare face, all punches knew their place. Airport style, the second one take off, the next one land. Earn some respect, young man. He glanced down for the brick on the ground. Fist still clenched up, I'm still sticking his crown. He's in the jaws of the most turbulent blitz in the world. So fuck hitting your girl tonight, you're hitting the ground. I said somebody need to beat your ass and then teach your ass. And I'm sorry, I can only do half. And while his melons swell up, a police cruiser pull up. He hop out all puffed up with the holster of his gun up. Ready to protect and serve. And it's in his nature, the 38 year, if you're testing his nerves. He helped the wife beater stand up, but not before he helped brother Ali into some handcuffs. And you can imagine my surprise when his girl came down the stairs with tears in her eyes and a phone in her hand, holding a man. Damn, that was not the plan.
Allah.
Allah.
Who?
Who?
Akbar.
Allah.
Say hamdu.
Hamdu.
Lillah.
Hamdu.
Say lillah.
Lillah.
Very good. Say hamdu.
Hamdu.
Lillah.
Lillah.
Say Allah.
Allah.
Who?
Who?
Akbar.
Akbar.
Good, good, good. Say hamdu.
Hamdu.
Lillah.
Lillah.